It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Studying the book of Revelation, we're in the third chapter of Revelation in the Church of Philadelphia. We will be reading the full part of that, which is verse 7 through verse 13. We did get to verse 9, and that's where we will begin the study today. I'm glad that you've joined us, and as you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you would like to email us, our email address is parkviewbible@gmail.com. And our phone number here at the church is 217-847-2717. So I hope that that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and be ready for the study. Once again, Revelation chapter 3, beginning to read with verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door. No man can shut it, for thou hast little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Behold, hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you today that we can come together and enjoy this study. Please that you will show us your way and will, guide and lead us today. It's so wonderful to be able to study your precious word and to come together. I ask that you'll just show us your word. Your word can come and convict our hearts that we're lost, that we need a Savior, and you can call us, and if we come, we have a choice to come, and I hope that we listen and come. And if we come, then, dear Father, it'll be a wonderful day to begin to truly live. If we refuse, then we remain lost, dead in our trespasses and sins. And please, dear Lord, that not happen to anybody that's listening to this program. Bring us to you, and then feed us, that we may grow and learn more and more about you, so we can serve you and praise you and honor you. Thank you now for this time, and just guide and lead us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. These verses of Scripture concerning the Church of Philadelphia. The Church of Philadelphia was a church that God had nothing against. I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my faith. Our God will protect us and care for us, and he opens a door, the old world can't shut it. If the door is closed, and he closes it, the Lord closes it, no man can open it. And we have enjoyed that study. And now we find ourselves in the ninth verse. This is a true church, a church, again, that God found no faults in. It says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them come and worship before thy feet, and I know, and to know that I have loved thee. We had this same term, the synagogue of Satan, back in the second church. There are seven churches, and we're in the sixth. We have one more, the Church of Laodicea. And as we look at these churches, we find that the second one, the Church of Smyrna, had such a statement to the synagogue of Satan. Jesus knows the true believers, and Jesus sees the heart. He does not just hear the words. He knows the heart, and that's going to be the difference, because today so many people can say that they are Christian, and they have never truly come by faith to the Lord Jesus. We have so many folks today that do not have any evidence. They do not produce any fruit that gives us the thought that they are truly a Christian. And yet you ask them, are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. And it's so puzzling why that someone would want to lie about such a thing that is so important, and that is your relationship with Jesus Christ. People think many times it is just a term, Christian. It's not just a term. It is a relationship with a person, and that person is Christ, Christian. Please that you remember the word Christ, because that's where the relationship comes, for you to know Jesus as your Savior. Come by faith to Him. He died on the cross for you, took your sin away. Will you please trust in Him today? Walk with Him today. I just ask you, I beg you that you follow after Him. Please, that you recognize the need of salvation. The Holy Spirit will show you that. And if you're right now wondering, you're just questioning whether you're saved or not, you're wondering how I'm going to deal with my sin. You're finally, for the first time, recognizing that you're a sinner. That's the Holy Spirit showing you that. There's nothing in nature, nothing of you that can bring that. It has to be the Holy Spirit. So if you feel that, if you realize and recognize that you are a sinner, please today call upon Jesus as your Savior, and He will save you. And so again, Jesus knows the heart. And so you could have said the words many years ago, but when your life did not change, and again, I am not to judge, but we do have the opportunity of seeing the fruit. And if there is no fruit, then there was no salvation, because you will produce fruit, you'll grow, you'll enjoy serving the Lord. And so I ask that you look very carefully into your heart. And please, if you have not truly trusted in Jesus, do that today. If you don't possess that personal relationship, if you have not come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, the assembly to come together and worship God in spirit and in truth, that's the true church. And I hope that you're a part of the true church. But we see here that many assemblies, many churches that come together, they do not worship the true God. They worship other gods. They have taken the Word of God, and they have altered it, added to it, taken away from it, and they have put their own little spin in it. Some folks, some religions, have just even taken parts out of it. This doesn't apply today. This precious Word applies. Now, please, that you know the Word of God and study the Word of God. And again, we are to worship God in spirit and in truth, and that means trust in this precious Word and learn it and study it and enjoy it. That's the true church. The others are worshiping other gods. The others, assemblies, the other groups, and I hesitate to call them a church because they're not. Unless you're a true believer, it's not the church. And so we have many that either worship other gods, or they come and they appear to worship the true God, Jehovah, but they worship Him falsely. They are all of the synagogue of Satan. Jesus looks at a group of religious folks, and I'm sad to say that He, I believe, does this often. John 8:44 tells us, "Ye are of your father, the devil." Now, He can do that looking at religious folks. Ye are of your father, the devil. Jesus here confirms, assures the true believers that the pretenders, the counterfeit church members, will be found out and will worship at the feet of the true church. Let's go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. We need to understand that you may fool everybody, but you can't fool God. And He will sort you out. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood. We need to understand that the true church is the church that's purchased with His own precious blood. And we need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to trust in Him. We must trust in the Lord Jesus. We must follow after Him. If you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, you are not a Christian. You can say the words, but you are not a Christian. Now, we need to understand that. And I just don't want you to be deceived. And now we come to the a time that is an important event. It's actually going to be the next event that takes place here upon earth. And that's in verse 10. It says, "Because thou hast kept the words of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." That's a very important part. There are two parts to this, two promises. And the first, as we look here and we see, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience." And as we look at that word patience back in the Greek, you will find that it means endurance and with joy. And so as we walk each day in this life and serve the Lord and praise the Lord, we need to understand that sometimes we will, and many times, face a time of trial and a time of tribulation. And so please that you look to the Lord Jesus Christ, you seek His will, you seek His way. Please that we walk each day, but when the tribulation, the trial comes as a believer in Jesus Christ, that we endure it. We do not turn against our God and curse our God. We praise our God. We thank our God. And we can even do it with joy going through the time of tribulation. So please that we see that. And so, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, or by this the Spirit means because we have been true to the pure Word of God. We have believed it, and we have walked with it, and it has held us up and secured us. Now, I said there was two things. That was the first point here in verse 10, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience." The second is, there's nothing more important than the Word of God. And the devil tries, but he cannot discredit the Word of God. He tries with everything he can to destroy or to discredit the Word of God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, 11, it tells us that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of the things in heaven, the things in the earth, and the things under the earth. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. That is the first point that we enjoy. And the second point that we enjoy here is the time of temptation. This moves to an area called the Great Tribulation. "I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation." This Great Tribulation that's coming lasts 7 years. There are many thoughts to it. However, I believe that I am a pre-tribulationist, you might say. In other words, we will be gone. The church will be raptured from here, and I believe there's many verses of Scripture that confirm that. Some believe in a post-tribulation, you'll go through the whole thing, all 7 years. Others believe that mid-tribulationist, in other words, you'll be gone at the 3.5-year mark and will not see the last 3.5 years. The first 3.5 years will seem like peace, and the last 3.5 years will the whole world's going to seem like it's falling apart. And so as that takes place, so there's many thoughts on that, but I believe that the Word of God is very clear. And the truth tells us that the church will be raptured before the appearing of the Antichrist, before the beginning of the tribulation. And those two events are simultaneously. The Antichrist will come on the scene when the tribulation starts. I do not believe that we will be here as a church during that time. And so as we look at this, the hour of temptation that shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth, the rest of that scripture tells us. This is going to be a testing time, a trying time for those that have turned against Jesus Christ, those that have decided not to trust in Jesus. It will be a time they can come to the Lord Jesus, but I believe only if they have not heard the gospel before. I believe if they've heard the gospel before and the church is raptured, and we're going to, if this is all foreign to you, just hold on, because we're going to go through those verses of scripture so that you can see them, so that you can understand them. It's so important that you understand that there is events that God has planned. And first, why we have, of course, the nation of Israel, the birth of the nation of Israel, the calling out of the nation of Israel. And their purpose was to take God and show the world who God is, and that God is, the Lord Jesus is the Savior. And He came upon the scene 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus as our Savior, the Son of God. But the Jews rejected Him and turned against Him. And also, even prior to that time, they held on to their own religion. They did not, it was theirs, and they didn't want to share it with the Gentiles. Well, the purpose of the Jews was to share it with the Gentiles, to bring the power and the presence and the saving grace of God to all the world, but they chose not to. So God set them aside, and then we get into the church age, and that's the time that we're in right now. And during this church age, during this time, why, we have an opportunity to proclaim the gospel. And God has called the church to do that, as He did the Jews prior. He sent the Jews aside, now it's the church's chance. But that chance is going to come to an end, because we, as the Jews, we have so desperately failed in evangelizing the world and telling the world about the Lord Jesus Christ, and how that you can come by faith to Him and be saved, have your sins forgiven, and be back in fellowship with God. People have forgotten. They don't do that. We have social churches, as we've just talked about with the synagogue of Satan. We got more synagogues of Satan than we do of good Bible-believing, soul-winning churches. I promise you that. We need to get back in into the tune, get back into the way that we should be serving God and praising God and honoring God. And so as we look now at the church age, the next event that's going to take place is something called the rapture. And the church will be raptured before the appearing of the Antichrist, before the beginning of the tribulation period. And then the time of trial will come up on the earth. And that's what is coming. True believers keep the word. True believers confess the name of Jesus Christ. As the beginning of this says, kept the word of my patience, this 10th verse makes it so clear to us. It means endurance with joy, as we looked up. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5, and the Lord direct your heart unto the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. We should be looking for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. A believer knows Jesus as his Savior, realizes, recognizes, acknowledges that Jesus came to earth some 2,000 years ago, was born of the Virgin Mary, lived and died. He was a perfect man, perfect God, and He had the ability, the power to save us, to take our sin away, and He did. He died. The wages of sin is death, so someone has to die. And Jesus took our place. He took your sin away. And so please trust in Him today and follow after Him. But what's taking place here is that as it progresses, true believers will not go through any part of the tribulation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:9. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to be looking for His next coming. The Jews missed it all. They're looking for His first coming. He's going to come as a judge this next time. He came as a Savior the first time, and they're going to miss it because they have not looked at the Word of God. They have gotten so tied up in their traditions and in their ways of doing things, as so many churches do today. We have missed it. We have lost it. We need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ for our Savior. And so we have in 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, and we're going to read just a few verses of that, but I ask you that you would read that whole chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 58. We're going to read 51 through 58 here in just a minute and give you an idea of what's there, because I want you to see that the church will be raptured. The church is going to leave. Saved, born-again believers are not saved to go through the wrath. No, we are saved from the wrath. We are saved and delivered from the wrath of God. So please, that you understand that. And the tribulation period, that 7 years, is the wrath of God upon all who deny Jesus Christ and will not call upon His name. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to read verses 51 through 58. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that you heard that so clearly. I hope that you understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to call when the... Behold, I will show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. I hope that you are ready for the sound of that trump. I hope you're ready for the voice of God as He shouts, and you look up, and before you can even look up, He is going to take you. The dead shall rise first. And those that have died in Christ, if they have to face the grave, and then we which are alive will follow Him and be with Him in heaven. We have verses of Scripture to look up, but I want you to understand that a child of God, as 2 Peter 2:9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show faith of praise, show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. He's not going to turn us back into the darkness of the tribulation period. We are in the light, and He's going to take us home. You know, we had in Genesis chapter 7, verse 1 through 16, we have a situation where judgment came upon this world. It was such a sad, sad time. Because at that time there was nothing good upon this earth. How can things go so corrupt so quickly to find in the 7th chapter of Genesis already that the whole world was corrupted, turned against God, and would not follow God? I can't imagine how things became so wicked so fast. Now, if we can read here in Genesis chapter 7, the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take of these seven, male and female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, male and female, of the fowls also the air by sevens, and male and female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters was up on the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark, because the waters of the flood. Of the clean beasts, and of the beasts that are not clean, of the fowls, and everything that creepeth upon the earth, there went in two and two unto Noah, and to the ark, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. And in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the deep, of the great deep, broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And the selfsame day entered Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of the sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two, all flesh, wherein as the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God commanded him, and the Lord shut them in. Now, as we look at that verse of Scripture, we need to understand that as this took place, it did not start to rain. It had never rained prior to this. And it wasn't just the rain. It was the flood waters from beneath. The earth just opened up, and the waters gushed from below and from above. And it did this for 40 days. And it put water upon all the earth. There wasn't one mountain high enough that did not get covered with water. And the only one that lived to tell about it, the only one that survived, was Noah and his sons and their wives. That was it. But my point is, judgment didn't start till God gave the righteous a way out. He protected them. He said, build the ark. Anyone at that time that would have believed God could have gotten on that ark, but they didn't believe God. Now, how about you concerning the rapture of the church, concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, concerning the tribulation period? Do you believe it, or are you going to be like they were at that time? Judgment is not going to come upon me, because I am going to be raptured with the church before this starts. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you haven't got a chance. Please that you come by faith to the Lord Jesus. We have another example, and that's Genesis 19:12-22, with Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot was down in Sodom, shouldn't have been down there, but he was. And God was going to have to destroy those wicked cities of the valley. And so he sent his angels down. He had a discussion with Abraham first, and then sent his angels down into the area. And he brought Lot and his two virgin daughters out with him. Before judgment could come, before one fire fell, a spark of a fire came from heaven down to destroy these cities. We know that Lot and his two daughters were out. Before one drop of water dropped, we know that Noah was in the ark safe. And you see, before the time of this temptation, the hour of temptation, as this 10th verse tells us, or the tribulation period, or the coming of the Antichrist, before he comes here, I'm going to be gone. And I believe that's a promise from the Word of God, and I praise my God for it. Are you looking for Christ the Lord, or are you looking for the Antichrist? I'm looking for Christ. I want him to come. And I know he will come, and he is going to come before the Antichrist will come, so I don't have to be concerned at all about the Antichrist. All that's to come to earth, the plagues, the judgment, will come upon the inhabitants of the earth after the rapture of the church. Look at this again, verse 10, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation." So you see, the lifetime of the church of Philadelphia ends at the rapture of the church and the beginning of the tribulation period. And we have several verses of Scripture that we're going to look up, but we're out of time, and so we're going to look up 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18, Titus 2:13, Hebrews 6:12, John 5:24. And so that's where we'll start next time we come together. So, my dear friend, cheer up, because have courage, because all hell's going to break loose on this old earth, and the blood's going to run, and the one river tells us it's going to be 200 miles long and 10 feet deep. Sinners are going to plead with God at that time that the rocks will fall upon them, that the mountains will fall upon them, but they can't die. What a day that's going to be when judgment truly comes to this earth. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?